As we continue our series on Excel in Everything, let us read the theme verse for this particular series from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. As we read it aloud, please fill the blanks as well as to what those words we need to fill in. Let us read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7 from the English Standard Version. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Let's read this in Hindi language as well. So, jaise har baat mein, arthat vishwas, vachan, gyan, aur sab prakar ke yatn mein, aur us prem mein, jo humse rakhte ho, badhte jate ho, vaise hi is daan ke kaam mein bhi, బడి జావు ఇన్ తెలుగు ఎస్ వెల్ మీరు ప్రతి విషయంలో అనగా విశ్వాసమందును ఉపదేశమందును జ్ఞానమందును సమస్త జాగ్రత్త యందును మీకు మా ఎడలనున్న ప్రేమ యందును ఎలాగో అభివృద్ధి చెందుతున్నారో అలాగే మీరు ఈ కృప యందు కూడా అభివృద్ధి పొందినట్లు చూచుకొనుడి. మే ద లార్డ్ బ్లెస్ ద రీడింగ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వర్డ్ అండ్ ఎనేబుల్ అస్ టు లెర్న్ సంథింగ్ న్యూ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ స్క్రిప్చురల్ పోర్షన్. వీఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు మెడిటేట్ ఆన్ టూ elements of this particular list of excel in everything today, and that those two are knowledge and earnestness. Knowledge and earnestness. In Hindi it says yat gyan aur yatna, gyan aur sab prakar ke yatna mein. In Telugu it is jnanamandunu samasta jagratta yandunu. Those are the two words that you are going to meditate on today, which is excel in knowledge and earnestness. Excel in knowledge and earnestness. Interestingly, the word knowledge is also translated in other languages as wisdom. In Telugu, it uses the word jnanamu. Sometimes the word jnanamu also is translated as wisdom. In Hindi also, I don't know if any other language, in Urdu and other languages, what it means. Knowledge and wisdom sometimes are interchangeably used in the Bible. Sometimes it is clear, sometimes it is not very clear. So that is why the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S in Greek, is sometimes translated as knowledge, and in other languages it is translated as wisdom. What is knowledge and what is wisdom? Knowledge is knowing something, and wisdom is knowing what to do, when to do, etc. So meaning, just knowing something is not sufficient, but wisdom enables us to know how to use that knowledge that we have gathered together. So somebody made this statement. Wisdom is knowing what to do next. Skill is knowing how to do it. And virtue is doing it. Knowledge, wisdom is knowing what to do next. Just knowing what to do. That's wisdom. I need to have the wisdom to know what to do next. Skill is knowing how to do it. And virtue is doing it itself. Many times we try to gain knowledge, but we do not have wisdom. We do not necessarily try to inculcate skill in us, and ultimately we don't have the virtue of really doing what we are supposed to do. Today we are going to look into these two aspects of knowledge and earnestness. In the first part, we will concentrate on the excel in knowledge. May the Lord really speak to us. Let us be in this attitude of prayer. Lord, speak to me, Lord. Lord, I have come with different sets of situations that I'm going through in my life. Speak to me, Lord. That is what should be our prayer. And may the Lord speak to us afresh today as we look into His scriptures in terms of excelling in knowledge. If you take schools and colleges, that is what the colleges, schools impart. They impart knowledge. And they say, okay, I want to test your knowledge. I'll conduct some exams in terms of knowing whether you know what we have taught you. And then they will give grades as well. And they say, excellent, excellent work in the knowledge that you have gathered. Bible is also very clear in terms of telling that knowledge just by itself is not sufficient. We need to know how to use that knowledge. That's why in 1 Corinthians and other places, it says knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. So we have to be cautious about knowledge. But there are certain things that are very important for us to have knowledge. Without knowledge, we will not be able to move forward in certain aspects in our lives. Suppose you are driving. You came to this country. You were given a key for a car, you took the key and then started driving. And suddenly the cop catches you and says, can I have your license? And he says, I don't know. Did I have to have a license? I don't know. Ignorance. Do you think ignorance is sufficient for the cop to say, okay, you are pardoned, done with it? No. Just by being ignorant doesn't make us to be able to pass through or be able to be pardoned, because there are certain things that we need to know. Okay, you took the keys. You came from a country where you drive on the left side of the road. Keep left. Some places and some countries they put. Here it says keep right. So you start driving on the left side and suddenly you're caught. Again, you might say, I don't know that I have to drive on the right side. Just because of the lack of knowledge, ignorance is not a bliss, my dear, when it comes to be able to know what the Bible says. So we have to be cautious about knowledge. But what kind of knowledge are we talking about? What kind of wisdom are we talking about in terms of applying the knowledge in our lives? The first thing that we should be able to learn is that we should have the knowledge of the Lord himself. Know the Lord. Know the Lord. This is the most important one. Do you know God? Do you know the God of the Bible? Do you know the Lord? Hosea. You may wonder, where is Hosea now? I need to search for where Hosea is. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Okay? Easy to remember. Ezekiel is a big book, so you can find Ezekiel. After Ezekiel comes Daniel, and then Hosea. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Please read, anyone? Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Yes. What a wonderful statement this is. When I was reading through the book of Hosea, wonderfully the Lord reminded once again, when I was looking at this, to say, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. Let us follow on, it says in some of the translations. Let us together, let us go, let us know the Lord. Let us know the Lord. Let us press on to know the Lord. Many times, this is what we are missing. We think that we know God. It might be knowing about God. There's a difference between knowing a person and knowing about a person. Whether it comes to the president of the United States or any other country, you might say, I know this particular president. I know the upcoming president. I know the president-elect. I know where he is, where he is going, what happened to him. I know about him. Knowing about a person is different from knowing the person himself. The wife of the president or the children of the president, when they say, I know the president, it's different from we telling, I know the president. That is what I'm asking. Do you know the Lord? I'm not asking, do you know about the Lord? You might say, if we have an open forum and tell, do you know God? Do you know the Lord of the Bible? Or you might say, oh, he's a creator, he's a savior, he's a deliverer. You might keep on telling the knowledge that really puffs us up to talk about him, because we know about him. But today the question that I'm asking is, do you know him? Do you know him? Let us press on to know the Lord. It doesn't say know about the Lord. Know him. We should know him so personally that it is not just one way to know about somebody, to be able to say, I spent time with him. I know my Lord because I spoke to him this morning. I know my Lord because he spoke to me this morning. Can you say that? Or are we in a situation where we keep on telling, I know about him, I'm trying to learn so much from the Bible and many things I'm knowing about him? No. The most important element, basic thing that we need to know is, do we know him? Do we know him? Sadly speaking, there were times in the scriptures where it talks about certain people whom we expect that they should know the Lord, that they did not know the Lord. Let us see some scriptural portions from 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is talking about a man by name Eli. This Eli was a priest. He was being able to really work through the people of Israel. But there is one sad statement that is mentioned about the sons of Eli in verse 12. You know what it says? Wow. It is worthless if you do not know the Lord. As simple as that. Worthless. Durmargal, it says in some other translations. It says that these people did not know the Lord, man. They did not know the Lord. And what were they doing? They were doing the custom of the priests. They were doing the work, not knowing the Lord. Maybe they know about the Lord. That's not what the Bible is talking about. They did not know the Lord. Many times, just by attending the church or being involved in certain things doesn't make us to be able to say that so-and-so knows the Lord, unless and until you have the personal experience. Even if you see in the next chapters, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 7, about the little boy Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Did not yet know the Lord. I like the word yet. He was still a young boy. He did not yet know the Lord, but a point had come in his life. In the same chapter, we say in verse 8, it says, "So the Lord called Samuel." He did not know the voice of the Lord. If you see, Lord was calling him again and again. Samuel, Samuel in verse 6, he did not yet know the Lord. The Lord is calling someone. The Lord is calling Samuel, but Samuel did not know the Lord yet. And Eli had to tell him, you tell, maybe it is God who is speaking. Tell him, "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." Speak, Lord. And that is where it says in verse 10, Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And then the Lord spoke to him, and he had a personal encounter with the Lord God Jehovah. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He was a young boy. He was a little boy. But the Lord spoke to him. My dear brothers and sisters, is the Lord speaking to you? If the Lord is speaking to you, are you going at other people and saying, "Are you speaking? Are you speaking?" No, it is God who is speaking. Samuel did not know yet. But the moment he was able to recognize, the Lord started speaking to Samuel. And you know what wonderful things Samuel was able to see in the life of the people of Israel. And that is what you and I need to have. Paul the Apostle made a wonderful statement in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. He talks about many things that he was gaining in verse 7. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Listen to this carefully. Verse 8. "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish, but rubbish so that I may gain Christ." Rubbish that I may gain Christ. Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. There is nothing greater, surpassing than knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Not knowing about Christ Jesus my Lord. The more you spend time with him, that is when you will be able to say that Paul the Apostle, though he had an encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he was still on the verge of his Christian life. He was still saying, "I may know him." And let's see that in verse 10. What does it say? Wonderful verse. Verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed today to his death." That I may know him. I like this small statement. It is a powerful statement, my dear. That should be the goal of each of our lives. That I may know him. More about Jesus would I know. There are songs written about it also. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. I want to know my God more and more. The more you spend time with God, the more you know him. Even if it is a husband and wife relation, the more time you spend together with each other, you will know more about each other. Not only more about each other, you start knowing each other very well. And that is what it is. And how much can you know? The knowing the Lord, you can enhance through the knowing the word as well. That's the second one that you want to note it down. Know the word. Know the Lord. Know the L-O-R-D. Know the W-O-R-D. Do you know the word of God? Do you know God's word? Many times we are ignorant of the word of God. We don't spend enough time meditating on the word of God. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, very familiar verse, but I want to remind us, it is so important in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture or the word of God is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Do you know? Do you know God? Do you know his word? Is he teaching you? Is he reproving you? Is he correcting you? Is he training you from his word? We should excel in the knowledge of the word of God as well. So much so that we apply it in our daily lives. I should know his word in such a manner that it changes my life. Does it change your life? Is it inspiring you? Does the word of God inspire you? Is it teaching you the things that you never knew? Oh, is the word of God talking about this? Is it reproving you? Is it correcting you? If that is the case, you're excelling in the knowledge of the word of God. If that is not helping you, there is something that we need to correct ourselves and say, Lord, why am I not being able to be transformed by your word? What is causing me? What is the thing that is blocking me to just know about your word? It is knowledge about the word of God is not sufficient enough. Let me tell you, even devil knows to quote the scriptures. Just quoting the scriptures doesn't make you any better than the devil or me greater than the devil. It is about really putting it into practice. Applying the word of God in my life in its context. Understanding the text in its context and applying it in my life. That is what knowing the word of God is. Having quiet times. Having family prayer times. Bible study times. Why do we spend so much on the word of God, my dear? Just so that we not only have the knowledge, but we have the wisdom to know how to use that knowledge. Knowing the scriptures is very important, but applying the scriptures is much more important. You will know about sin only when you read the scriptures. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Please read Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, the last sentence. It says, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. You would know what is right and what is wrong as you keep meditating on the word of God. The word of God tells you that is this right or not. People have been struggling since the time they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Still, they are not able to really look into the scriptures to understand what is good and what is bad. It is very important. Only through the word of God will we have the knowledge of sin. Maybe those of us who have gone to knowledge test, or before you go to the road test, you go through a knowledge test. You will be asked questions whether you know this or not. Why? You can directly go under the road test. What? Why? Why? Because you need to be aware of the rules and regulations. If not, not only you will be in trouble, but the other people on the road will be in trouble because of you. Maybe you're driving, but you don't know that you need to follow some rules. There is freedom to drive in this country, but under certain rules and regulations. Conditional freedom, that is called. Even Christian life. When we are in the freedom of Christ, there are certain things that we need to know. Lord, help me to know where I'm crossing the line. Help me to draw the line between what I should do and what I should not do. Knowledge of sin. And it is very essential, my dear. The more you hide the word of God in your heart, the word of God will enable us to be away from the sinful nature. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you, the Bible says in Psalm 119. Thirdly, know the Lord, know the word, and then know the will of God. Know the will of God. Very important. Maybe a lot of young people tend to focus upon this, but may I share with you, doesn't matter what our age is, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will. He made known to us the mystery of his will. In Telugu it says, Tana chittamnu gurchina marmamanu manaku teliyajesanu. He has revealed his will to us. Verse 9. He has made known to us the mystery of his will. What is his will? Lord, what is your will in my life? The mystery, it is mysterious. But he has made known to us the mystery of his will. His will is that all men should be saved. His will that we may be able to do everything for the glory of his name. His will is that we may be transformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. His will is that we will live sanctified lives. His will is that we may be able to do anything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving glory and honor to him. Many places it talks about his will. But does it talk about his will in terms of our jobs? Where do I know about his will? Where do I know about his will about whom to marry? Where do I know about his will as to what to purchase, what to not purchase? These are the struggles we go through in our lives. Know his will. Know his will. Very important, my dear brothers and sisters. The more you know the Lord, the more you know the word of God, you will know the will of God as well. Initially, probably the husband might keep asking the wife, what do you like, what you don't like? As the years go by, the husband knows what the wife likes or doesn't like, or the wife knows what the husband likes or doesn't like. The more you spend time with the other person, the more you get to know each other, you will know what the likes and dislikes are of each other. What is God's will in your life? That is a question many people go through, knowing God's will. Many books are written about knowing God's will, and still people are struggling through knowing God's will, because it is mysterious. Mystery of his will. Mystery of his will. And that mystery, the Bible says, he has made known to us. Maybe that is where we may need to concentrate more. Lord, help me know your will, Lord. What is your will in my life? What should I do today? Where should I go today? How should I be able to talk? Or how should I be able to react or act to certain situations? Know me, help me to know your will in my life. And let me tell you, if you are sensitive to the voice of the Lord, you will know his will. Many times, we miss on the will of God. I've been sharing this story, and I don't mind repeating this story also, about two friends who grew up in the countryside. And one of them moved to Manhattan, a very busy city. And this other friend visits him from the countryside and talks to him about his childhood experiences. As they were going through on the road, the rough road, the man who came from the countryside, he asks, hey, do you hear that small cricket insect chirping? Do you hear that? Remember those days when we were in our village, how we used to search for those cricket insects? And this man who moved to Manhattan says, this is such a busy road. We are so busy in our lives. Why, in what way? I don't get to hear that small voice of the cricket. He says, no, there is some cricket going around here and there. He stops, this other friend from the countryside. He stops and looks at a box, a crate there. He says, I think I'm hearing the sound from there. He takes the crate out and he sees the small cricket that was making that sound. In the busyness of the world, busyness of the life, this man was able to hear the small chirping sound of the insect. The way in which he grew up in the childhood, now he's no longer hearing that sounds anymore because he's busy with the things of the world. Many times that's what happens. We miss on the still small voice of God. Let us spend time in the presence of God. Quiet time is essential, my dear, to be able to hear God's word. Isaiah chapter 30. We have a God who speaks. Please don't misunderstand the fact that God never speaks. He speaks to our innermost heart of hearts. He gives us the peace that passeth all understanding. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, please read. Your ears will hear a word. Your ears will hear a word. Not somebody else telling you that this is God's will in your life. Your ears yourself will hear a word behind you. God is a God who still speaks. From his living word, he reminds us of certain scriptures when we are going through certain things in our lives. God speaks to us through circumstances in our lives as well. He speaks to us, he reveals his will through his word. He reveals to us through circumstances. I've gone through personally many situations in my life where God spoke to me through his word, but I kept on asking, Lord, confirm your will in my life. And when I was asking the Lord through circumstances, when I was driving through some places and suddenly when I stopped at the signal light, God reminded me of certain thing that was right there, a board that was in front of me. God reminded me, this is what I'm trying to tell you. You've been passing this road many times, but you never saw that board, or never did you realize that I was speaking to you. I had to stop at a red signal light in order to be able to know that God was speaking to me. I had to quieten myself and made my sight go to the thing that God wants me to see. And God confirmed his will in my life, not just once, many times in my life, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to be able to be very, very conscious and sensitive to the voice of the Lord that speaks to us. Not like a real audible voice. It is a still small voice in our heart of hearts only. You will hear a voice. You will hear something that where he says, this is the way, walk in it. When you want to turn to the right or to the Lord, should I go this way or this way? What do I do? I'm at the crossroads of my life. God wants to reveal his will to you. And how does it happen? It is only by experience, my dear. It is sheer experience in the word of God and to be able to be sensitive to the circumstances that are around us. God can speak in multiple ways. God can reveal even through a child. He might let the child open the mouth and God might speak to us. God can speak to us. You know, in the Bible, God spoke even through an animal. We'll never know how God speaks to us, my dear. We may be wondering, Lord, I want you to speak to me this way only. And we try to restrict ourselves to God, to trying to put him in such a way that we now do not hear the thing that God wants to speak to us. Lord, speak to me through this way, through this manner. And we keep on forcing ourselves, forgetting how God will speak to us as well. Finally, know the work. Know the work. My dear brothers and sisters, this is something that we need to know. What is this work? What is this work that we are talking about? It is two aspects about the work. One is the work of God and your work as well. Knowing the work of God and knowing your work as well. And let us see that, especially yesterday in our family prayer also we were meditating. We were studying on the book of Judges. Book of Judges. In our family prayer, we felt that it might be good to go through characters. So we finished the character of Samson, and now we are meditating on the character of Gideon, both from the book of Judges. And many things that we can learn, trying to just look at a character from the scriptures. And children are able to learn. We ourselves are also able to learn through the scriptures. And as I was sharing about from the life of Gideon and Judges, and there was certain thing as a preview or what happened, how come these judges came into picture, I had to look into Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. It talks about the fact that Joshua, under the leadership of Joshua, these people occupy the land of Canaan and they occupy all those places wonderfully. The people served the Lord, it says in verse 7, Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Verse 8, then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him Notice this verse 10. I tell you, when I was reading this, it really brought me so much of sorrow in my heart when I was reading through verse 10, Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. I was sharing this last night in our family prayer also. All that generation also were gathered together to their fathers. The generation that existed with Joshua, all of them were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Knowing the Lord also means to know the work of the Lord, knowing the work of the Lord. A generation arose after them who did not know the Lord. Please read in any other language, verse 10. That is a very sorrowful statement, my dear. A generation came up which did not know the Lord, nor did they know the work which he had done for Israel. That means, I would say, the previous generation were responsible for it. The previous generation did not pass on the things that they have learned to the next generation. They went ahead. They were joined, gathered together to their fathers. There arose another generation. This particular generation is responsible to pass on the legacy of our faith to the next generation. Otherwise, we don't know what will happen to the next generation. Many things we need to do while we are alive on this earth for the sake of our children and their children's children, my dear. Are we imparting God's word in our children's hearts? Otherwise, this statement will be applicable to even to our children. If we ourselves are not in the Lord, how can we let our children know the Lord? Do you know the Lord, my dear? It is not just being able to have a life, to get married and have children. Yes, it is wonderful that physically it is good. But it is your responsibility as parents. It is my responsibility as a parent to ensure but that my next generation knows the Lord and knows the work of the Lord as well. They did not know the work of the Lord which God has done for Israel. What a terrible statement that was. It really brought me so much of sorrow and tears in my heart saying, Lord, why? Why did this happen? I don't want this to happen to my generation, my next generation. That should be our prayer as well, my dear. God raised judges and people were delivered from the hands of the enemies and many things that happened in the book of Judges. We need to know the work of God. We need to know how wonderfully God has done in our generation so that the next generation will learn. Maybe you have read about great people of God. They might have written books how wonderful God has done in the life of Charles Wesley, John Wesley, Martin Luther, and many others, even Billy Graham or Brother Buck Singh or anyone. How God has done wondrous things. When they have written and we read those things, it will impact our generation as well. Oh, wonderfully God has done so much. God's work has been so wonderful in those days. How much more it should be these days as well. And that is how it should be, knowing the work of God. And when you know the work of God, you need to know your work in that work of God as well. Exodus chapter 36. God wants to tell us as to what we need to do. Exodus chapter 36. Let us see that. It talks about the work of the sanctuary, the tabernacle, the construction of the whole aspects that are mentioned about in the book of Exodus. And God wanted to make sure that we may work things that are essential. And let's read verse 1. Exodus 36 verse 1. Now Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary. Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform the work in the construction of the sanctuary. Notice the word know. Maybe we never have focused on the word K-N-O-W. The Lord is the one who has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary. Do you know what God has put as a skill in your life? When we started the work here in the church, the construction of this stage and many other things, electrical work and fans, etc. we found out that God has put Bezalel and such kind of skillful people in our church to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary. Physically doing the work. Maybe food ministry. Maybe you're good in being able to prepare food. Maybe you're good in serving food. Maybe you're good in cleaning up the food and the other things. If God put that in your heart, the Bible says here, He has put skill and understanding to know. Maybe playing instruments. Maybe sharing the word of God. Handling with children. Handling among women. Among young people. Many, many ways, my dear brothers and sisters. We should know what God has put forth in us to know His work. To know what should I do. I know I want to know the work that God has put in me. Perform, know how to perform all the work. Do you know how to perform the work in the house of the Lord? You need to know, you need to excel at it. The moment you know this is what you need to do, it will help you to excel in it as well. Knowing the work. Quickly, let us go to the next one. Excel in earnestness as well. What is earnestness, first of all? Earnestness. Earnest or diligence, the Bible says. Diligence. What does it mean to have the earnestness or diligence? In Telugu, it uses the word jagratta. In some other verses, the same word, earnestness and diligence, is translated as ashakti. Jagratta or ashakti. Being careful to be able to be fully dedicated to do it. Earnestly to do it. Earnestly, not just simply for the sake of doing it, but to be able to seriously doing it. Maybe that's another word. Being serious about things that matter. And that is how you and I should be. And the first thing that we want to learn in this is earnestly seek. We should earnestly seek. Anything that we are searching, we need to search earnestly. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17. Please read if you open it. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Yes, those who seek early, actually the word that needs to be, I think it's the KJV that you must have read, sister. But the word that is actually used is earnestly or diligently. Diligently seek me will find me. Those who diligently seek me will find me. There is a story that is talked about in the book of Luke chapter 15 about a woman who lost one of her coins. We don't need to look at it. If you want to look at it also, it is fine. Luke chapter 15 talks about the lost coin. When she lost her coin, she just didn't say, okay, I lost the coin, that is okay. I searched here, I searched there, done. I couldn't find it, I lost it. No, she didn't do that. You know what she did? It says that she searched earnestly till she found it. Earnestly finding it, meaning earnestly, being carefully, jagrataga, meaning carefully, earnestly doing and searching. The Bible says, if you earnestly search, you will find. Many times we don't do that and we are losing on the wonderful treasures that God wants to teach us and to be able to help us to learn. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Earnestly seek the Lord. Secondly, earnestly obey. Earnestly obey the Lord. Exodus chapter 15 verse 26. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. What does it say there? Yes, I am the Lord that healeth thee. But when does it happen? If you give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, knowing the Lord, knowing the word of God, knowing the will of God, knowing the work of God, they are good. But if you are not earnest enough to seek God's will, if you are earnest enough not to obey God's will, then we are not excelling in any of knowledge or earnestness. I need to have the earnest desire. Lord, I want to obey you, not simple obedience, but earnestly obeying the word of God. I need to honestly obey God's word. Thirdly, earnestly desire the things that are essential in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. to the Corinthians, Paul writes and says in verse 31, it says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Excel in everything. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. There are many gifts that are being talked about. Talked about apostleship, prophecy, teaching, miracles, gifts of healings, administration, tongues, and many things that are mentioned in verse 28. But the Bible says in verse 31, but earnestly desire greater gifts. Do we have the earnest desire? Lord, I want to excel in the things that matter. And that is what we are going to meditate, God willing, next Sunday on love, which is excellent way. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. I need to have the desire. Do you have the desire? Do you have the desire of things of this world that will cause us to get personal glory? Paul says all these things, whether it is apostleship or prophecy or tongues or healings, a lot of people desire such gifts, but it ends up many times self-glory more than glorifying God. But here he says that earnestly desire the greater gift, the excellent gift, which is love. We are going to meditate on it next week. But I just want to mention that we need to have earnestness in order to be able to do that. And just having a desire is not sufficient, my dear. Earnest seeking, earnest obedience, earnest desire, and it has to be concluded with earnest prayer. Earnest prayer. Do you spend time in prayer, my dear? If we do not spend time in prayer, then this knowledge and this earnestness will not have any value. The reason why I'm saying is, prayer is the most essential element in everything that we are talking about. Lord, I want to know you. Pray earnestly. Lord, I want to know your word. Pray earnestly. Lord, I want to obey your word. Pray earnestly. Praying earnestly is very, very important. There was a man in the Bible who prayed earnestly. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, talking about a man by name Elijah. He prayed earnestly, the Bible says in verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. We should excel in earnestness when it comes to prayer. When was the last time we prayed earnestly? We might have prayed. Maybe we have prayed in the morning while driving to church. Lord, give us journey blessings. But was it an earnest prayer? When was the last time we prayed earnestly? You know, when we pray earnestly, we go through earnest prayer when we go through tough times in our lives. When we go through hard times in our lives, loss of something, or something that is happening in our lives that where we cannot find a solution, that is when we might end up fasting and praying. That is when we might end up earnestly praying. Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. My dear brothers and sisters, that's why the Lord sometimes allows tough times in our lives, so that he may teach us to earnestly pray. In my life or your life, maybe we are going through tough times in our lives. It is not just prayer. Maybe the focus today is whether we are having an earnest prayer in our lives. There's a great story in the Bible in the book of Acts chapter 12. In conclusion, let's see that Acts chapter 12, talking about Peter. Peter was put in the prison. When Peter was put in the prison, in verse 4 it says, verse 5, so Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was made fervently. If you have an English Standard Version, I think it uses the word earnestly by the church to God. Fervently, earnestly, diligently. These are the words that are synonyms. But all that I want to focus about the fact is that we need to pray earnestly. Ashaktito, it says in, I think in Telugu language. Prayer, yes. Okay, it is much more. Ashakti, Atyasakti means much more earnestly was praying. Prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Church prayer, individual prayer, Elijah, we learned from the life of Elijah. He was praying earnestly, individually. And here we notice that the church was praying earnestly. My dear brothers and sisters, the church prayer has a great power. We need to spend time in prayer. There is no alternate to prayer. We are spending time together in prayer every Sunday till the end of the year after the church service in order to pray for the year-end activities, carols, outreach, and Christmas activities, watch night service, and many other things that we are talking about. We need to pray earnestly, my dear. Church was praying earnestly. Not only for the church needs. Here, it is talking about Peter. One of the church members was going through tough times. The church was praying for him. The church was praying. Church is not praying for themselves. Each one is not praying for themselves, but you are praying for somebody else. Maybe we have a burden to pray for ourselves. Maybe that's when we pray earnestly. But have we fasted and prayed for somebody else at any time? For somebody else who is going through tough times. Oh Lord, that brother or that sister is going through tough times. I want to fast and pray for that brother. I tell you, this earnest prayers will result in wonderful results where God is glorified and you will see answer to the prayers much more. You don't need to tell that person that you are praying. If you want to encourage that person, tell them that's good enough. Not for your glory, but tell it for the glory of God. Brother, I'm praying for you. Sister, I'm praying for you. I know you are going through tough times. You have shared with me. You have shared with me not to gossip around, but to gossip with God. To pray unto God, Lord, I pray for this particular brother who is going through tough times. I pray for this particular sister who is going through tough times. Earnest prayer, my dear. We need to pray for others. And that is when the church will become stronger. Why don't we spend time together? Are people able to open up themselves to you? Are people able to open up their hearts with each other? Or they think, coming to church, just listening, worshiping, going. I don't want to share anything that is going on in my life with anybody. That is not a church family, my dear. Whomever, I don't mean to say that you have to share with everyone. Maybe there are some sensitive issues, but share with someone whom you can trust and pray along with. Brother, can you please pray with me? Sister, can you please pray with me? I'm going through this. I cannot handle it by myself. Pray earnestly. Daniel was going through tough times. He shared with his friends and they prayed all night. And God had revealed his will and his word to Daniel. Maybe that is a burden that I have today, my dear. Not just about knowledge, but to be able to be earnestly seeking the things of eternal value and asking God for the sake of others. Maybe your husband is going through tough times. Maybe the wife is going through tough times. Maybe parents are going through tough times because of children. The children may be lost. Let us spend time in prayer together. We have different ways of praying together as a church, but we want to focus more coming year as well, my dear, about fasting and prayer, night watch prayers, and even many other prayer ways in which we can come together in prayer. I tell you, the popularity of the church depends not on a Sunday service, but in prayer meetings. How many of us are attending prayer meetings will reveal how much we have the earnestness towards God and the things of eternal value. I understand there could be some situations where you cannot make it, but that cannot be a norm. When was the last time we attended a prayer meeting? When was the last time? When was the last time you opened your mouth and prayed for the sake of the others, not just for yourselves? This is a burden. With burden I'm praying, my dear. I'm asking each one of us. God has been revealing this to me as well, that I need to spend time much more in prayer. And not only me, myself, but we need to gather together and pray. There is power in prayer. That's the fuel in our lives. If there's no fuel, what's the point in having a car which is not fueled properly? Whether it's an electric car or a gasoline car, if it is not well fueled, it has no value, how much ever expensive that vehicle may be. Let us spend time in earnestly following these things that matter in our lives. I hope we'll excel. As an individual, let us excel in the sight of the Lord. As a church, let us excel in the things that matter. I hope we can take this as a challenge in our lives, just as much as I have taken it as a challenge. Not only to know the Lord, know His word, know His will, know His work, but earnestly seeking, earnestly desiring and obeying His word. And I'll do that through much prayer. Only on the knees can we achieve anything. The church did not go and find out some people who can help Peter to be coming out of the prison. They said, oh, I know that jailer. Let me call him and try to do some recommendations so that Peter can be released from the prison. No! They were on their knees spending time in prayer. Did you know the power of prayer? There is power in prayer. The results that we see can be directly proportional to the time that we spend in prayer as well. May the Lord bless this word. Let's close our eyes.